Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dobrý večer and welcome to the Bohemian Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Doe.
Good evening from Prague and welcome to the Bohemian Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Coleman.
And I'm Travis Dow from the History of Germany podcast.
Many cities and towns throughout the world take a great deal of pride in their zoos and aquariums. In the United States, the San Diego Zoo is world-renowned, and the aquarium complex in Atlanta, Georgia is the world's largest. However, here in the Czech Republic's capital city of Prague, the Prague Zoo entertains and educates thousands of visitors every year in what is known to be one of the best zoos in all of Europe, and it first opened its doors to the public in 1931. Travis, on this podcast, we talk about historical battles, famous Bohemian leaders, the Czech cultural identity as it is, and many other insights to living in the Czech Republic, but not once have we shown the spotlight on the Prague Zoo.
You're right, Pete. We never got around to it until tonight. I kind of like the lighthearted subjects we do on the show from time to time instead of just, you know, death, fire, defenestration.
Which is a great part of Czech history, of course.
Yeah. Like you said, it's been around since 1931. It was opened with the goal to advance the study of zoology, protect wildlife, and educate the public. It's in the district of Troja in the north of Prague. Now, in 2012, the zoo occupied 58 hectares, that's about 143 acres, and housed around 4,800 animals that represented more than 690 species, including some 133 species listed as critically endangered.
Okay, now, Travis, I've been to the zoo several times because I've got two kids, and it's just something that you have to do when you have kids. Have you been to the zoo?
Oh, yeah, tons of times, and it's especially like the botanical gardens. It's kind of like a greenhouse thing, aviary, all that stuff.
Again, if you're not familiar with Prague, when we talk about the Troja area, it's kind of an upscale neighborhood, and you would see things like the Troja Palace, which is a chateau that's open to the public with beautiful French gardens in front of it as well. The zoo is directly across from that. There's a wine vineyard that goes back, I believe, the 1600s. You also have the botanical gardens that you can walk through as well, which house many species, fauna and species from the Amazon and other places throughout the world. Really nice area to live in and to play in. And the Prague Zoo really is the crown jewel of the Troja area. That's just right on the bend of the Vltava River. So, Travis, when you have kids, it's kind of necessary that you have to go to the Prague Zoo when you live here. And my son and I have been there many, many times, and we actually had a chance to go to the Prague Zoo. Throughout tonight's podcast, we'll kind of go back and forth with Nathaniel's viewpoint and my viewpoint as we walk through the Prague Zoo from the hilly end all the way down to the lower area where the river meets the zoo. Okay, Prague Zoo. Man, what a great day it's been out here. It's, early September, and I'm out here with my son Nathaniel, and we're taking in a day at the Prague Zoo, and we are actually at the highest point of the entire zoo near this little sky lift, the seat lift that takes you up to the other plateau, and we can actually see the whole bend of the Vltava River right now. And Nathaniel, what do you think so far about the zoo? What are your first impressions?
Well, I kind of like the animals. They are nice. They are big.
What was your favorite one today so far?
I think the birds was really nice. The polar bear was, I think that's the best. He was huge. He was bigger than you think. And now I hear some crazy animal words.
I think that's a lion over there, probably. But, this has been ranked, Prague Zoo has been ranked one of the best zoos in all of Europe. top in the ranks as far as sheer size. It is absolutely mammoth. It is a little hilly for some people's tastes, but they've done a lot of reconstruction here, not only on the exhibits and some other things, but a lot of it had to do with the flooding of 2002, which was a huge devastation to the Prague Zoo. And we also had another flood last year in 2013 that did a lot of damage as well. So there have been some changes to the structure of the zoo, but it is a fan favorite for most people here in Prague. And if you haven't been here lately in the past few years, you'd be surprised at some of the new things that are coming out as far as some of the redesigning. So it might be a good idea to come back and revisit this this great zoo if you haven't been here in a few years. Nathaniel, should we check back in maybe a little later on when we hit the buffaloes or maybe the reptiles?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Let's talk about zoos in Europe in the sense before we kind of measure where Prague Zoo stands in all this. In Germany, there were so many zoos that have a mid-19th century origin, and the zoology of the Germans really set the standard across the world in a lot of respects. Many of those were lost during World War II, which we'll get to later in the podcast. One of the very earliest zoos is actually in Vienna at the Schönbrunn, and it is, I think it was begun in the 1700s.
Yeah, that one has some history. The kind of greenhouse botanical garden thing, that's really cool looking.
Right.
Yeah.
The Prague Zoo, the thing that stands out with the Prague Zoo that kind of differentiates itself is its location right next to the Vltava River. That's very close to it, which has added some problems with flooding, and we'll talk about later in the podcast as well. But it's got this giant rock face that the zoo is built around and on top of that really stands out to the eye when you first get there.
It's a little more vertical than most zoos, yeah. Which must be tough if you got a pram or a wheelchair or something, but it is kind of nice that if you're kind of at the top of it, you can kind of look down and, it can be kind of a hike if you're just like, I'm going to see every single thing.
Exactly. But, yeah, and it's a very, very large zoo, too. You'll be able to do a lot of walking through it. And Travis, what stands out is that it opened out in 1931. There was always a push for this, even during the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, to have a zoological park.
Yeah, so in fact, it actually opened on September 28th, 1931, for the curious. At that point, to kind of paint you a picture, so there was the administration building was erected next to the main entrance. There was already a raptor aviary built, and they had the arrival of Lotta, the she-wolf, first animal to live on Prague Zoo premises. So it was a wolf.
So there's your trivia question. There's the answer to your trivia question, right? We talked about the rock face, Travis. It really stands out, and the zoo is kind of more of a vertical zoo in a lot of senses. Let's go to the audio we have with my son, Nathaniel.
Taking a little break here for some refreshments, a couple hot dogs. Maybe we'll get some ice cream in a minute. So, Nathaniel, we get down. We're going to see, what are we going to see next on the list?
New animals?
Yeah, like what kind of animals?
I don't know, like zebras.
What are those?
I say turtles.
Turtles, okay, turtles. Turtles are good. Maybe some flamingos, some of those type of things. Weekends at the Prague Zoo are absolutely packed. So keep that in mind. If you want the park more to yourself, you could probably come during the weekdays come on in here between 9 in the morning until 6 p.m. for most of the summer months going into the fall. But the weekends, it is the place to be here if you got kids especially. And the buffaloes actually were pretty cool because they were a lot bigger than I thought they'd be, right?
They're like huge.
Did you see any babies?
We see one and look like cow.
Right, it's got looks like pretty much like a cow. Some interesting things to see when you have your kids with you to kind of get them a little more interested maybe in animals and the environment and trying to understand a little bit more about the world that they live in. We'll be back again with a little bit more updates as we go through the park.
Again, at top of the hill, it's a little bit of a workout to get up to the top of the hill, but once you get up there, the payoff is pretty good. Nathaniel did, of course, like he said, love the polar bears. The exhibit is pretty large and pretty nice. The orangutan exhibit is up there as well. The tigers and the big cats are on the other side of the park, another pretty good hike.
There's some history there, too.
Exactly. In 1932, the first tigers arrived in Prague, and that was Mitau and Bengali. And they were crowd favorites. A lot was written about them in the 30s. Today, you've got pumas, you've got panthers, you got lions, and it really is kind of a neat thing to see during feeding time to see what these animals do. There's been a lot of negative stories about zoos in Europe, specifically what happened last year in 2013 with the zoo in Copenhagen where they put down a couple giraffes. There was an issue where there's a rule by the governing body of zoos here in Europe, that if an animal is sick, it has to have certain paperwork done genetic issues they don't want to pass down to the next generation, that they can put them down versus sending them to another zoo.
Yeah.
And this was the case with one of the giraffes, and they decided that they were going to put the giraffe down, and then they were to cut it into pieces to feed to the lions. And this was all done in front of a bunch of kids. So talk about living the hard life, with the circle of life to showing it up close and personal. But, you know, in their mind, they wanted the kids and the visitors to the zoo in Copenhagen to actually see what is done with, you know, what you have to feed lions. And it was probably difficult.
Yeah, that's not the part that bothers me. I mean, some people say, you know, you should only see animals in the wild. Well, I mean, you know, I've been to the Serengeti. Yeah, you see a lot more than giraffe steaks being served to lions. So, it's natural. I mean, that's not my problem. There's, you know, I mean, I think one thing to realize is, you know, zoos are nice, but they're not built for, there are exceptions, I should say that. But in general, or at least the way it started when we're talking like 1931, it was a way for people to see animals. There wasn't any kind of humanitarian organization to help animals that were injured or something and bring them back to life. Those obviously exist also. But in this case, it's like, no, they were, you know, free, healthy animals that were captured and put in zoos. So yeah, there's, I think, especially in recent years, you know, if you think of like SeaWorld and that kind of thing, there's a lot of controversy about that kind of idea. If you accept zoos and you accept that it's a business, it's not a humanitarian charity. So if it's a business decision to put down some giraffes and it's legal and everything.
Travis, I agree to a certain extent. I think that there are some exceptions to some zoos that do some really horrible things, and there's some zoos that do some amazing things.
Sure.
I get concerned when I go to a zoo and I see an animal walking in circles over and over again. There's something going on there neurologically as an issue.
Basically, anytime I see a polar bear, it just breaks my heart because you know they're not happy. You know, just,
you know, and this is the thing. If you have good zookeepers and a good zoo that's going to keep these animals focused and engaged and not just an exhibit for people to watch, then I feel a bit better about that. But really, the payoff is not so much for the animals, but for the people. And I think what it does...
That's the bottom line.
...is that it gives a sense for not only the younger generation, but everybody, an appreciation for the animal kingdom. Because, you know, you start thinking about what you're doing to the environment and what these things mean as far as human expansion into wildlife areas or deforestation. You get that when you see the animals and you make that personal connection at the zoo. And I think you can make that personal connection to the zoo. Think about what it was like in the early 20th century. When you talked about a conservationist, such as, like, let's say, Theodore Roosevelt back in the States, what that meant was that he just wanted areas so that he can go shoot some things.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. You know, you loved animals so you could shoot them and then put them, hang their taxidermied heads in your den. Things have changed quite a bit. I think that zoos kind of help limit some of those issues sometimes. I would hope so. And I think the people at the Prague Zoo do it right, and they put a lot of attention into the well-being of their animals.
There are efforts being made.
The history of the Prague Zoo has had some ups and downs. World War II approaches, and of course we know the devastation of World War II on a human level, economic level, and a level of destruction to cities across Europe and, of course, Asia as well. People don't realize that there was a lot of devastation to zoos across Europe, especially in Germany and the Czech Republic, due to the bombing natures of what happened towards the end of the war in 1944 and 45.
Zoos are no exception to casualties, and especially when people are starting to go hungry, you know, people might start eyeing those elephants a little differently. The Dresden Zoo and other various German zoos throughout Germany were bombed into dust throughout the war. Many of these zoos were built in the mid-19th century, like you mentioned, and already at that time had some historical value, and basically had, you know, even long histories of protecting endangered species. Unfortunately, the ravages of war were not only visited upon mankind, but also upon the animals trapped in their enclosures.
You know, Travis, you know, that's true. And really, the onus on the zookeepers were to see if they could do some precautionary measures. And so many zoo animals were frantically moved to zoos that authorities believed were safer locations. And one such location was here in the Prague Zoo, where they were a recipient of Zuzana the hippopotamus from bomb-ravaged Berlin in 1944, you know, mm-hmm. 5-hour trip from Berlin to get to Prague by car, I'm sure was during war-ravaged Germany, was probably a very difficult feat. Berlin's famous zoo was destroyed by blockbuster bombs in 1944, and Dresden, of course, met its fate by incendiary firebombing in February of 1945. You know, Travis, I got a chance to go to the Dresden Zoo a few times. It's only a 2-hour drive north of Prague. And, you know, there's special plaques dedicated to the animals that were lost there to the firebombing, as well as to the zookeepers that tried to release the animals during the bombing campaign. Luckily, Prague was spared much of the Allied bombing through the war, except for several occasions in 44 and in 1945. You know, her citizens were still trained here in Prague to take cover at the very first sound of air raid sirens during Allied bombing. Bunkers and bomb shelters were scattered throughout the city, and this also included Prague Zoo. Now you can get a chance to see an example of a bomb shelter, World War II type bomb shelter, at mm-hmm. Prague Zoo in this rock face that we talked about.
The Prague Zoo opened that exhibition. We're basically talking a replica of a bomb shelter built in a space that was formerly a mining audit near the large aviary. The history of the audit started in the middle of the 19th century and is shrouded in mystery. The reconstruction gave it back its historical character from the World War II era when it served as a bomb shelter.
You know, and Travis, on a lighter note, as my son Nathaniel and I were actually coming down the hill, we'll probably go to that audio right now because that goes right over this bomb shelter that is right near the aviary, and we'll go to that right now.
All right, we made it down the hill, just barely. It's a huge hill. And now we are on our way to see some more birds here before we backtrack and I'll hopefully get to see some lions today, Nathaniel. Those are some of my favorite, the big cats area. That was my favorite last time we came to the Prague Zoo. And if you can hear it in the background, of course, there's the tractor pull train that kind of gets you through here. Pretty cool, right?
It is.
It's a good way to go through the park. Like I said before at the beginning of the podcast, this park is huge, man. It is absolutely huge. So getting onto the train is a good way to get through the park and kind of save your feet and maybe a couple cranky little campers that you might have with you, the little ones. So that's pretty good. So we'll keep going and see what we can find some more of the big cats, okay?
Sounds like a good idea.
Okay, so as we're making our way, my son Nathaniel and I were making our way down the hill. We were at an area that once housed lions. Now I want you to think about this, folks. To get from the bottom to the top of this hill, they put in this sky lift that basically has chairs, multicolored chairs that you get into, just like a ski lift, and you go from the lower end to the top end of the rock feature. It's a continual moving deal. Now, when my wife was growing up here, the seat lift moved over the lion encasement so that you were kind of dangling with your feet over as you went over the lion and habitat.
Just in case fear of heights isn't enough.
If that wasn't enough, if you can imagine that. Of course, later they put a net over that. So just in case people ever got any issues with that, any issues of falling, that they would feel a little bit better. So now the lions have been moved to a different part of the park. You can still hear them in earshot, but you won't be actually sitting and moving over the lion habitat as you go to the top of the hill. That would have been interesting. I think I would have passed on that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I definitely would have. Yep. So skipped that one.
Skipped that one altogether. Really, the claim to fame in recent years about the Prague Zoo is what happened during one of the worst floods in European history that happened in 2002, Travis. And the flood really surprised a lot of people. And it wasn't just here in Czech Republic. It was in Austria. It was further up the rivers and the Elbe rivers and the Danube that affected in Germany and in Hungary. It really was a devastating flood throughout most of Central Europe.
Yeah, you actually see markers throughout Prague, even, you know, metros all over the place, where, you know, it shows the water level, and it's amazing. If you're right near the river, it's like up on the second floor somewhere.
It sounds like a future podcast we need to talk about, because the European floods of 2002 had a lot of stories connected to it.
Yeah, I'm sure we've mentioned it before, but oh yeah, there's enough stuff there
for another show. Absolutely. One of the more interesting stories of the Prague Zoo was also one of many of the sad ones, and that was of the famous seal by the name of Gaston. You know the story?
Yeah, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, I know. Here's the story, guys.
I don't want to talk about it.
I know. It's tough. If you go to the Prague Zoo now, you'll see in the where they do the seals. They have the seal sort of play area. There's a bronze plaque there to Gaston and the seals that tried to escape during the Prague flooding of 2002. And this is the situation. Gaston was the name of a 12-year-old brown fur seal that lived in the Prague Zoo for many years, from 1991 to 2002. He became famous during the floods of 2002 when he escaped from the zoological garden. You see, the waters from the Vltava started going pretty quick and started flooding the lower basin of the Prague Zoo. And when it reached the top of the tank, old Gaston and two of his other little buddies left. Mm-hmm. Now you would think, oh, this is a great story. They're going for freedom, right? You know, so here's Gaston and a couple other of the seals making their way down the Vltava River, all right, heading towards Germany. Gaston was actually a pretty good swimmer, and he went about 300 kilometers. That's about 190 miles north to Dresden. Mm-hmm. So just above Dresden, he made it that far before they found him, where the rivers kind of the Vltava and the Elbe rivers connect. He was recaptured north of Dresden and subsequently died of exhaustion, had a little heart attack, basically. He did not do well. There was an infection in the water. The water was bad as well. And I'd like to think at some point he had freedom in his eyes.
But you got to imagine, these are flood waters. So there's dirty, there's debris floating in them. And it's hard to even make out the bank because it just flooded for blocks and blocks. So it's not like, you know, you think, oh, why doesn't he just swim to the edge of the river? No, it's just, you know, it's hard to even get to the edge or, you know, and it was fast moving water. So... yep, too much for the poor fella.
Yeah, so he didn't make it, but he's gone but not forgotten in many ways. One of the neat stories is that before the flood, his little girlfriend became pregnant. So actually, you can see today that Gaston's child is actually there.
Yeah.
So the son of Gaston is actually still at Prague Zoo. He lives on in many ways.
I think the elephants died in the flood too because it just... they were right next to the river and just completely flooded there.
You know, it's a really scary moment because at this point you don't want animals to suffer. And the flood, you know, started off and it just happened so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, the lower half of the zoo was completely underwater during the 2002 flood. You know, we saw that the zoo staff, their concern turned into anxiety as the water level started to rise and the animals... you know, started becoming a little bit more anxious as well about what was going on because they were in peril. And the evacuation became, the idea of evacuating these large animals was basically an impossibility. Drastic and difficult measures had to be put into place, and this included putting some of the animals down versus a panic from the impending drowning.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that's a really sad story about this. And Travis, you mentioned the elephant keeper, an elephant keeper by the name of Zvenek Sjesha, made the call on this difficult decision concerning Kadir, which was a 35-year-old Indian elephant. And Travis, maybe you could tell us a little bit about, paraphrase what the zookeeper mentioned here.
The zookeeper basically thought that the elephant, which had to be shot, was a threat because as the water rose, he wouldn't have been content to just kind of swim in it. There would have been a chance that he would want to get out and would swim away and actually create much more havoc than otherwise. So, I mean, basically would have been a disaster. He would have been aggressive and very aggressive towards people. In fact, the zookeeper said he's one of the most bad-tempered animals he ever knew. They did have some ideas on how to save him, but given the time constraints, you know, it just wasn't possible, basically.
And well, keep in mind, he was raised since he was 5 years old at the Prague Zoo. 30 years he's been at the Prague Zoo. Normally, this would have taken 3 days to move an animal with this kind of temperament safely.
And they figured that the biggest likelihood was that even if they just opened the gate, basically, he would have drowned anyways. Like I said earlier, you know, in a flood, you don't just swim to the shore. The shore is, you know, blocks and blocks away, and you just don't know.
You know, the hippopotamus called Latilka was also put down for fear of a possible havoc that she would have escaped into the river Vltava. Fortunately, another hippo, which was believed to have died, was found after the floodwaters began to recede. So one was saved and the other one had to be put down. Travis, there were so many other animals that were also in peril here.
Yeah, so while over 1,000 animals and birds were moved to safety, around 10 big mammals were lost, including an aging lion and a bear considered too old to evacuate. And then an estimated 80 exotic birds were also lost. And the zoo's ape house in the lower part of the zoo, and likely every single building there, was covered, roof and all, by the floods.
You know, the gorillas, there was some bright spot here because the gorillas were rescued in a dramatic last-minute evacuation. Zookeeper Gabriela Herverova basically put in her words that they started moving the gorillas when their house was already starting to be flooded. Luckily, some rescue workers arrived on a big raft. They parked there next to the ape house, put the gorillas to sleep with a tranquilizer, took them onto the boat, and got them out of there. Can you imagine how much the gorillas would have weighed to put them on a raft?
Yeah.
How scary that would have been? Unfortunately, one of the zoo's five gorillas, Pong, was lost in the evacuation effort and was believed to have drowned. But talk about heroics. I mean, that's just some neat stuff by just average citizens that saw the need there to see this. So, you know, what are the effects from the 2002 floods? Well, it kind of prepared for the 2013 floods that happened just recently as well. They started putting things back together. You would see hundreds and hundreds of people coming down to the Prague Zoo to help clean up after the floods and also help out rebuilding some of the things that were going on with the animal habitat. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of move quickly to really move some of the animals out of danger immediately from the lower floodplains of the zoo to higher ground permanently. The Prague Zoo learned that lesson a little bit later, another 10 years later in the 2012-2013 flood situations, where after that was done, they said, okay, from now on, we're going to put the animals on higher ground permanently. We're going to make the lower flood areas into basically discovery zones for kids, play areas for kids.
Because who cares about if kids drown?
The kids can get out.
Oh,
you mean something else.
Oh.
Well, yeah, the kids will be fine. We can get them to safety quickly, but the animals is a different story. So when you go down to the lower areas, if you go to the lower parking lot, you'll be able to maybe see some of the bird exhibits that can be a little higher from the floodwaters, of course, in the cages. But you'll basically see the toy train down there. You'll see play areas for the kids and, like we mentioned, discovery zones. The flamingos can probably get out a little bit faster as well if they need to. They're down there by the lower flood zones as well. So
I think in general, that's now, they moved the elephants way up.
Yes.
You know, the elephant habitat. And I think it's like down is like things like the lizard house and things that you can just kind of like move the terrariums.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
You can move small the things that you can just
last on top of the mountain, you'll see the African safari area.
And yeah.
They are far away from the Vltava River. So, you know, and
those are all new and bigger, which, you know, so that's.
Yeah, and before we wrap things up tonight, let's go back to my time with my son Nathaniel at the Prague Zoo. We actually made it down. We tried to get to the big cat area, but we just ran out of time. But we did go down to the lower basin to go, you know, have a couple, you know, get some ice cream and kind of hang out in the kids section. And then we kind of worked our way around the flamingos. Well, let's go to that and see where we are wrapping up our day at the Prague Zoo. Well, we're wrapping up our podcast today at the Prague Zoo, and it's been a fun day today, buddy, hasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. Again, I think the best thing I saw today was a polar bear. Didn't realize how huge he was. What was your favorite animal?
Well, I think the polar bear, too.
Yeah, I think that was something that we both agree upon, and that was pretty awesome. It has been a great day, and we really lucked out with the weather today. We had a little bit of rain there for a minute, but it cleared up, and it's about 6 o'clock, about closing time here at the zoo, and they're actually feeding some of the animals. It's feeding time for the tigers and whatever this mammal we're looking at right now in the water. What is that? It looks like a hippo. Is it a hippo?
No, we've seen hippos.
Okay, I don't know.
This is something weird. I'm gonna tell you.
Okay, he's going to go look. So if you get a chance to come down to the Prague Zoo, it is definitely on a must. It's right on the Vltava River. It's not too far from anything. It's actually got the bus access that comes right here to the Prague Zoo. So really no excuse to not get over here and check this out. So again, for my son Nathaniel, I'm Pete, and we'll head it right back to the studio.
By the way, what was that thing you saw in the water there?
You know, it was peeking out and then went back into the water. It was some large mammal. And so Nathaniel went to go look for the sign to see what it was. It was a tapir. My son loves animals. I love that he loves animals. That concept of animal husbandry, I think, is kind of important about how we take care of animals today. And I think the Prague Zoo does a wonderful job of that. So Travis, that wraps up our viewpoint on taking a little field trip to the Prague Zoo today. Are you planning on going back anytime soon?
No, actually, I do enjoy the botanical gardens quite a bit. I'd say I go down there maybe once a year or two if it's a nice day. It's a great place to hang out if it's you know, hot.
Yeah, if you got a situation where maybe your wife or you want to take the kids to the zoo and your other spouse says, you know what, I want something a little bit different, walk across the street to Troya Palace. You know, take in the gardens there. It's very quiet, very calm, very beautiful chateau that's there. Or like Travis said, you can go up to just up the hill a little bit further. You can go see the botanical gardens, which is a different viewpoint there as well. So again, thank you for joining us on the Bohemican Podcast. Feel free to go to bohemican.com for all things Czech from an American expat perspective. We want to thank you for listening, and we'll be back with you very soon.
Yep, thank you very much.
You have been listening to the Bohemican Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Doe. Visit bohemican.com for more information on this episode, other episodes, and much more information about history, traditions, and culture in the Czech Republic. Find us on iTunes, subscribe, and review, and don't forget to rate us. We would love to hear from you. Send comments, ideas, and corrections on our comments page on bohemican.com, or get in touch via Facebook or Twitter. Tune in to our sister podcast, History of Alchemy, which is also on iTunes or on historyofalchemy.com. Until next time on the Bohemican Podcast, thank you for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.